Berwick's McBride Memorial Library has seen a lot of changes over the years. Amanda Warner, Adult and Administrative Services Librarian, says there's always room for new chapters to foster new possibilities.
The McBride Memorial Library, as an independent 501(c) public library, began serving both Columbia and Luzerne counties initially in the 19th century. In 1885, they were given money to the YMCA initially to create a building, and that was on the corner of 2nd and Market Street, and that was to house space for the public library. Essentially, when we were forming the Berwick Public Library Association and getting everything ironed out, the first meeting took place in January of 1916.
It's interesting how libraries have changed over the years. We looked at them as repositories for books and have had to maintain a reverential silence when we walked into the building.
That has changed in a number of ways. One of the main challenges of libraries is to remain sustainable and to remain relevant and to do so in a world that is changing extremely rapidly. Just in my lifetime alone, I have seen our technology shift where we originally were purchasing a lot of physical media. You had VHS tapes to DVDs to now digital streaming. There's also changes in licensing and copyright. So once those books being digital, then you had to talk about copyright from a different angle. The laws change, the technology changes, and then academically, we're always growing and learning, so everything needs to then be considered again, and that comes in layers all throughout different aspects of library services.
How do you think people look at libraries today?
Well, I can't speak for others, but I know that the library has always been a core, central, foundational aspect of a community. And people have come to the library for a variety of things. Myself alone, you think about, what did you originally come to the library for? Well, when you were a child, you came for story time, so you were developing those early literacy skills. Then you grew into elementary school age. Maybe you went to the library for a school field trip where you learned the Dewey Decimal System, things like that, how to apply for a library card. Now you're in middle school and high school, and you have research assignments. So maybe you go to the library for the books, and we do have a lot of resources, but maybe we don't have what you need because your research topic is fairly specific for that assignment. Well, we have interlibrary loan services where we can request a book from another library in the state, and they can share that resource with us for your assignment, and then we return that when you're finished. We also have online resources, so from the comfort of your home, you can also be working through your assignments and your research on Power Library. And then you return back to the library for socialization, you know, to combat isolation. The pandemic happened. We all ended up back in our homes, so we had to come back out into society again and get comfortable doing so. We've evolved in a lot of different ways.
So now you are sort of the community hub of Berwick, and there are different types of programs, aside from the books, aside from the research that people might have to do for an assignment. What about those of us who are finished with school, maybe those of us who are retired, maybe people who just want to get out and relax and just mingle with other people at the library?
There are a lot of opportunities for that here. And I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, how the library is a meeting space. It's a public space, and it's a neutral public space where a diverse group of people can meet and can socialize and can start having conversations and discussions. We're sharing ideas that maybe are not the same viewpoints we walked into the room with. And diversity is celebrated, and we're learning from one another. And McBride Memorial Library has a variety of programs coming up this fall that you could attend. We have a pumpkin party that happens every October. And the reason I'm bringing that up is it's a lot similar to our gathering of readers that we had over the summer. So these are intergenerational program concepts where the Gathering of Readers program was for the summer reading program. So initially you might think elementary school kids, but when you think about programming from an intergenerational angle, you are encouraging every generation of that family system to come to the library together. So we have to make sure that we have resources and we're meeting your needs and we are finding ways for all of us to interact together. So sometimes our programs are designed where you can float between stations.
What are some of the differences among the stations?
One part of the library might have things going on for early literacy birth to five, that age range, one part of the library might have something else going on for elementary school age children. One part of the library might have something going on for teens. And then we have things going on for the adults as well. But what we want to encourage is the mingling and the discussions between the generations.
But also you have things that are going on in libraries now, crafts and art projects and things to take your mind off of maybe your troubles, maybe movies in the afternoon on a specific day, just to get together as a community.
Absolutely. We have our self-sustainable series that's taking place. You'll see those announced in the fall. That's an adult target audience program where we are fostering confidence, life skills, exploring ways that we can expand our budgets by learning more about the ways in which we can attempt different techniques, some of those different community-based skills. We also have the Be Informed Coffee Chats. Those are an opportunity to visit the library, come out and socialize, have a cup of coffee, sit and have a snack, and then we'll also bring in a community partner who will be there to discuss what resources their organization offers. What can they connect you with? So it's building off of one another and helping one another to foster that community.
When you see the children coming into the library and you see them attentive and listening to somebody read to them, how does that make you feel?
That's what I want to see happen. McBride Memorial Library is a family place library. We earned national recognition as an accredited family place library in 2023. When I say family place libraries, their mission is to increase the ability and capacity of libraries throughout the nation to recognize and realize their full potential as a community hub for healthy child and family development. So we are identifying the needs of parents, the community, and the children so that we can foster lifelong learning beginning at birth. And that's what I mean by when you grow with us. So we have different things for you at each age level. Family place libraries, the first initiative was launched in 1998. The curriculum rolled out in 1999, started with five libraries. Well, now there are over 500 libraries in 32 states across the country who have this same training and mindset. And so our core components of that are the trained staff. We have to build a collection as well that is covering those specific needs of child development, family support, parent education, and best practices. We have not only books, but we have toys, early literacy tools, music, multimedia. And these materials are available for babies, toddlers, parents, caregivers, service providers. They are in the library in a specifically designed space that is both welcoming and interactive, so you have that engagement level. You might pick up a puppet and start doing story time with your child one-on-one. You have puzzles, dramatic play items, blocks, writing stations. You can work on those fine motor skills. We also have a parent-child workshop program series. That is a five-week repeatable program. And at each play group, that's essentially what it is we are bringing you to our space. We have all of these resources, and we're going to explain those resources to you and why we like that specific toy or why we wanted to do that specific craft and what benefit that could have for your child. But we're also going to connect you with, again, those community resources who can help you with other areas.
Do you conduct literacy lessons for those who are having difficulty reading or maybe they don't know how to read?
We have a Books and Barkers program that is specifically designed for those reluctant readers and those who are just starting that independent reading so that we can help them build their confidence. And when we have that specific program, therapy dogs come on site. So a child has the opportunity to have one-on-one time with a therapy dog, which of course reduces your stress level, you're more comfortable, it's more fun, and then maybe you'll be more willing to practice those reading skills. So that program is available as well. That will return in the fall.
I'm going to ask you a two-pronged question. First, what do you feel are some of the challenges that libraries face today?
The number one challenge for libraries today is finding sustainable funding sources. So for McBride Memorial Library, 83.5% of our funding comes from fundraising efforts, grants, and gifts from generous community members and sponsors through donations, through gifts of kind, those types of initiatives. So that comes full circle, of course. So when we're talking about starting with early literacy and growing with you, we also have this mindset underneath all of that, that if we really wish to foster growth and development in our community, the funding needs to come to the library because we have the training and resources to help develop those skills to make them more likely to graduate high school. But we're also raising thoughtful, educated, and engaged leaders for the future.
Some of the challenges now to some of the successes. In your time there at the McBride Library, which programs do you feel are the most successful, the most popular?
Well, I have to say, and maybe I'm a little bit biased, but the Youth Art Month has been an extreme success. Youth Art Month is a national initiative. It's administered by the Council for Art Education, and it's a celebration of visual arts. So what the library does is we provide the space for the schools in the area to exhibit student artwork. And why we do that is because we are encouraging support for quality school art programs. We've had 2 years now where we've celebrated Youth Art Month throughout the month of March at the library, and we have had very good turnout in terms of numbers, but we've also received a lot of feedback from parents and teachers and community members who were so grateful that their child had that opportunity.
What do they say? What are some of their comments that you might be able to share with us?
I heard one student walk through the library and go, "Wow, it's just like an art gallery. There's artwork everywhere to see." So in addition to the books, there's art on the walls. Your friend's artwork might be here.
It's beautiful to see, but it's also very encouraging, too. Like if you'll walk into the library, you'll see your friend's artwork or your artwork on the wall. It gives you a sense of pride. There's that sense of, I did this.
One parent in particular, the first year when we rolled it out, specifically said, "Wow, you made them artists. Like they're really artists." Yep.
These are great programs, and they're interactive, and they're very stimulating. The kids don't feel as though they're working, but they're doing something constructive. If someone came to you and they had a generous donation and you had some programs that you had on a back burner that you would like to see come to the forefront, what would some of those programs be?
That is a very good question. I think what I'd like to do, and that might be because I'm still fairly new in my position here at this library, is I'd just like to see some of that money go towards the programs that are already in existence and see how we can improve them for the future. Like, for example, with Youth Art Month, when the students are here for their gallery reception, we have live music playing. Perhaps we could get that catered. Perhaps we could invite more visiting artists who would request a stipend or something like that for participating. There are a number of ways we can expand upon the existing program structures. And the summer reading program in particular, this summer in 2026, we started using a mobile online app for tracking reading, and that was extremely well received.
So what was the success rate of that?
Beanstack is what we used. And in terms of success rate, we've received zero complaints all summer.
That's incredible.
Yep.
That's incredible.
I think some of the feedback I've received, and I'm still compiling all of that data from the summer, is it's independent. You're reading at your own pace. You're interacting on the web app, which the younger generation seem very comfortable with. And you can put reviews right on there. You can read what everyone else is reading. But you can also return to the library for those prizes that you're earning. And that reward, of course, it reinforces all of that hard work that you did, which hopefully was fun as well.
Do you have a particular wish list about something that is happening now that maybe could be fortified just a little bit?
Well, for our parent-child workshops in particular, my wish list would include some new manipulatives, some new toys, some new resources for that program. So when you come to the library to attend a parent-child workshop, we call them play and learn, you enter a space that's designed for interacting with your toddler, birth to age 3, on the floor, so at their level, and you're letting them lead and explore. And then we're attempting to get a back and forth dialogue buildup with them where we're developing those language skills as well. But in order to do so, you need to have materials that are new, relevant, safe, and education is always evolving, and the way we look at things is always evolving. So it's definitely an opportunity to look at what we could potentially add to that program for early child development.
When you walk into the library on a daily basis, and you said you're relatively new to your position at McBride, but what brings you the greatest joy when you see the children responding, when you see the adults having conversations in the library? What kind of feeling does that bring to you?
There's always a moment of happiness every day. Even when you have a challenging day, there's still something there that you can smile about. We had a staff member design dinosaur artwork to complement the summer reading theme this year. And my favorite part was watching all of the different children name the dinosaurs around the library.
And they probably gave them some very inventive names.
Yep, one's name is Steve. Steve the dinosaur. He's right by the circulation desk.
You're giving them that forum just to open up and say, well, this is what I think.
It's what we do here at McBride Memorial Library, building awareness and building bridges and building connections.
Very special thanks to Amanda Warner, Adult and Administrative Services Librarian at McBride Memorial Library in Berwick. She says the wide range of programs they offer at the library open people up and make them much more aware of what's happening not only in their communities, but around the world. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.